Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
It is automatic fire, fully automatic fire from an elevated position. Take cover.
Multiple GSWs to the chest, legs, femoral arteries, at the medical tent, at the medical tent, 4A, off of Guile, south of Reno.
Control Zebra 20.
Zebra 20, go ahead.
Is set on the suspect's door. I need everybody in that hallway to be aware of it and get back. We need to pop this and see if we get any type of response from this guy to see if he's in here or if he's actually moved out somewhere else.
Copy. All units on the 32nd floor. SWAT has explosive breach. Everyone in the hallway needs to move back. All units move back.
Breach, breach, breach.
Last night, we started receiving calls of an active shooter at the Route 91 Harvest Festival located adjacent to the Mandalay Bay Resort. We were receiving information that there was an active shooter that was firing rounds from the 32nd floor and that individuals that were attending the festival, the number is estimated to be 22,000, were being struck by those rounds. Currently, the Clark County Fire Department is estimating the injuries to be over 400 and the deaths associated with this event to be over 50. I can't give you an exact number yet because we're still investigating some of the areas involving the event where the concert was taking place, and we're still exiting individuals that were hidden, and it's just a matter of a process. So it's going to take quite a while for us to completely get through the evacuation phase, and then eventually we will have an assessment on the injuries associated with that. Now our suspect was identified as Stephen Craig Paddock, 64 years old, a white male from Mesquite, Nevada. We have no investigative information or background associated with this individual that is derogatory. The only thing we can tell is he received a citation several years ago, and that citation was handled as a matter of normal practice in the court system.
All right, what you heard last there was Joseph Lombardo. He's the Vegas police chief saying at that point, that was late into the night yesterday, and 40 people, 400 injured. That number obviously has gone up. What a Drudge Report is now calling the Mandalay Massacre, and 58 confirmed dead, 515 injured at this Vegas concert. We've got full and complete coverage throughout the course of the program today, including some of the reporters that we have down on the ground that are in Vegas for us. We have Kaya Jones and John Rich. John Rich was on stage. I spoke to him earlier, 90 minutes before all of this went down. Kaya Jones was on stage with him, formerly of the Pussycat Dolls. They always, at a big and rich concert, they honor the military. They bring him up on stage. They sang, I think, God Bless America is what they were singing. I think it was on Kaya's Periscope, which we'll try and get a copy of and tweet it out. And, you know, there's a lot you get out of hearing. You just hear the automatic gunfire. I've been around weapons my whole life. You're talking about nearly 30,000 people, and this is well within the range of, obviously, because all these people were shot, many killed and injured. And you hear it, and it's in an open field. It's like you're just sitting ducks out there. And then you hear the police scanner. One of the things that struck me before I get into this, a lot of anger that is built up in me today by the fact that so many always race and rush, and their first instinct is to politicize a tragedy. We've had so many of them, not just in America, around the world. You know, we can go through the different varying lists of events that have happened in different administrations. Bush 43, what happened on 9/11, all that happened during the Clinton years, all that happened in the Obama years. You know, the Obama years, none of them were terrorism. They were man-caused disasters and overseas contingency operations. But I see that, you know, you get to hear the police when they actually get to the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Hotel in Vegas, and you hear that in the midst of just pure, unadulterated evil, you've got a group of people, just like on 9/11. Everybody else is trying to get down from those towers. There's another group of people going in the other direction, knowing they're headed into the fire. They're headed into potential death, and many of them did die. And in this particular case, you've got the same policemen that are regularly trashed by individuals, you got those same policemen standing outside the door of where this madman is firing his weaponry. Now, we do know that I think they were able to confiscate some semi-automatic weapons. I think all told they got 20 firearms that were picked up, some fully automatic, in the room of the Mandalay on the 32nd floor. But you hear those police officers, and they're there, and they're in a breach, and they're in a situation. They know the guy on the other side of that door has a machine gun, basically, and is ready to mow them down. But they're there. You know, maybe the next time an incident comes up and a police officer comes under fire, or maybe an arrest doesn't look, I don't know any time a resisted arrest is ever going to look good on a video, and everybody rushes to judgment. And they're just like, oh, we think we know all the details of everything that's happened because, after all, we saw a snippet or 5 seconds of what actually happened. Maybe we'll remember the cops that ran up in the other direction on 9/11, 2001. Maybe we'll remember the cops that were outside the 32nd floor door of this shooter in Vegas, because you hear it on that police scanner when they were right outside the door. Not sure if he had moved to another location. Not sure if he's going to come out blasting bullets in their face. But that's what they do, and that's what makes them the heroes that they are, because they put themselves on the front lines for us. You know, I'm watching all of this, and I'm literally watching especially the still photography of this incident. And I know we've all seen the video, but you see still photography that just captures the moment. We got one woman literally has a relative in a wheelchair trying to race through what looks like it's on a grass outside and push the wheelchair through the muddy lawn that they were on. And you see images. I saw there was a group of young kids that were at the concert. It was a country concert. And you see boyfriends doing what I think men should do. Oh, Hannity, there it is, the macho side of you. Oh, they were protecting their girlfriends and putting themselves in the way of the bullets so that if anyone was going to get hit first, it was going to be them. You see mothers clutching babies the same way, or young kids that they had in their arms. Beyond inspiring. And then the eerie part of this, the gruesome part of this, is then you got an open field after everybody scatters, and there are those few bodies that are laying in the middle of that field, bloodied, lifeless seemingly. I don't know if any of those people survived. And, you know, then once in a while, somebody would race over there and see if they could help them while the shooting is still ongoing. This went on over 10 minutes. That's an eternity if you're in that field. That is a long time. Now, the worst part of all of this, now, I don't know. We don't know much about the guy who did this at this particular point in time. We know that ISIS claimed credit for the Mandalay massacre. We don't know yet. We can't. I know other people are very quick to rush to judgment on these things. We're not. I'm just telling you the report exists out there. U.S. officials in Newsweek are quoted as saying they're skeptical over the ISIS claim of responsibility in this. There had been, just to give you a full, complete background and knowledge on this, ISIS had threatened the Vegas Strip in an attack there 4 months ago, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot about this. The shooter's brother has offered no motive for the attack here. I saw him in the one interview that he did to a local reporter. And he lives in Central Florida in his home there. And he said that his brother, who died of the self-inflicted gunshot, had no history of mental illness. He said, "We're completely dumbfounded. We can't understand what happened here." He said his brother was just a guy. There were reports that he had been gambling heavily in recent weeks and to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. Nobody knows if there were wins or losses. He said, "We're lost. I don't understand. It makes no sense." And he had been just a regular guy that had retired to Nevada because he liked gambling. And anyway, this guy, the shooter, lived in Mesquite, Nevada, about 80 miles northeast of the Strip. And authorities there said he was a mystery and they had very little information about him. So I'm sure in the days and weeks ahead, we'll find out more. He had one witness claim that, you know, that she was warned before this attack. I'll get to that in a little bit. But the president will be visiting Vegas on Wednesday. He's going to Puerto Rico tomorrow. The president called this an act of pure evil. There's no other way to describe this. And we'll be watching and waiting and finding out more details on this. Here's where we're going to go next. It gets so frustrating and angry. How is it some people are wired that when a tragedy like this happens, that their first instinct, oh, let's politicize this. Oh, you got a lawyer for CBS who says no sympathy for Vegas victims. They're probably Republicans. You've got, and social media can be beyond vicious. You know, leftists celebrating. We've got copies of the tweets. I'll show you on TV tonight. White Trump supporters being killed in a Vegas massacre. Pray for Vegas. I'm like, why would you ever do? Why would your thoughts go there? And then you've got politicians weighing in. Hillary Clinton. Oh, let's blame Trump and the NRA and gun control, and Elizabeth Warren doing the same thing. We'll get to all of that. Now, also, we've been watching the politicizing everything in Puerto Rico all weekend long. We'll talk about that. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, toll-free telephone numbers, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. I'm going to get to the insane, the rush, the race to politicize everything. Can't we just have sympathy, want to reach out, want to help our friends in Vegas? Just like Puerto Rico, we've been lied to about the reaction and response there, which I'll get to also today. I mean, it's the deadliest shooting in modern U.S. history, 58 dead. And maybe more to come. You got people fighting for their lives, and we're arguing about gun control. Right? Politicians have to make it about whatever their cause is. You know, bodies are still warm in the morgue, for God's sakes. Parents are identifying their kids. We have parents outside of hospitals praying that their kids are going to live. Anyway, we do have one bit of information that just came across the wire. And apparently, this guy, the shooter, was known to the Vegas in some sense. And what they're saying is Las Vegas police told ABC News that Paddock was found in his hotel room with at least 10 long rifles, 20 all told. He was found dead, and they believe he shot himself. But apparently had filed a lawsuit against the Mandalay Bay. At least that's what ABC is reporting. Public record search of Clark County revealed that Paddock filed a lawsuit against the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas Hotel and Resort. And records show he was suing for negligence and premises liability. And the Vegas Review said that he sued the casino after he fell, and he claimed he slipped and fell on an obstruction that was on the floor and was injured because of the dangerous condition there. You know, what you can read into that or not read into that is up to you. I don't know. The Washington Examiner has a piece out on how terrorism experts are split on this claim by ISIS that they're responsible for this. And according to Site Intelligence Group, which monitors extremist messaging sites, they said this afternoon that the shooter, Stephen Paddock, had been, you know, some are claiming that there's some connection here. Other people are saying they don't believe that it fits the background of somebody that might in some way be associated with ISIS. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to wait till more evidence comes in. Now, we have our reporter on the ground, Adam Housley, is going to join us. We'll be checking in. Kaya Jones and John Rich, they were on the stage just about an hour before all this happened. We'll get their insight as to what happened and much more straight ahead.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
My mom knows what happened, yeah. We all found out when our phone started ringing with the cops at 1 o'clock this morning or something. It had nothing to do with any political organization, religious organization, no white supremacist, nothing. As far as I know, I've only known him for 57 years.
Your father was a bank robber?
That's correct. I mean, here, we're all proud. My father was on the top 10 list for a while. His name's Benjamin Hotchkiss Paddock, I believe is his name. I didn't know him. We didn't know him. He was in jail and broken out of jail.
Does he have a history at all of?
He doesn't even have parking tickets. He has no criminal record. He has no record of any affiliations. He has nothing.
You had mental illness.
That I know of.
History of mental illness?
Absolutely not. As far as I know, once again, nothing like that. He was a wealthy guy, and he liked to play video poker. He went on cruises. He sent his mother cookies big, huge, crazy boxes of cookies and stuff.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. That was Eric Paddock, the brother of the shooter, you know, saying there's no political motivation that he knew about, no religious association that he knew about, absolutely, positively, no white supremacist background. He did point out that his father was a bank robber on the FBI's 10 most wanted list at a point in his life. We're getting other breaking news now that there is an active shooter in the campus of USC.
Active shooter at the UPC campus shelter in place.
This is the University of Southern California, right?
Correct.
There's a South Carolina USC. All right, just making sure. All right. So we'll monitor that and see what's happening there. I don't see any of the other news channels that have it. This just crossed the wires as we speak. Okay. We'll watch that. Now, we're going to go on the ground and check in with Adam Housley in a couple of minutes here. I get politics influences a lot of us. I understand that there are people that, for whatever reason, here's what I don't get. I don't get in the middle of a tragedy, my first thought being about politics. I don't get you know, the thought process of a top lawyer for CBS saying she's not even sympathetic to the victims of the Vegas shooting because, quote, country music fans are often Republican, and discussing the shooting that occurred in Vegas last night. Anyway, the network's vice president, senior counsel, took to Facebook after this gunman opened fire. We now know at least 58 dead, at least 515 injured. Ended up being a 72-minute rampage that went on there. We know that this is the deadliest mass shooting in American history. You know, when you look at warning before the attack that he gave was, you're all going to die. You know, Democrats have this compulsion. They just want to turn it into politics immediately. What makes you think when mothers and fathers are being called down to the local morgue or called by the police and asked that, well, we're going to need you to identify whether or not this is your child that was one of the dead victims of this shooting, and you go down to the morgue, how about we just spend maybe 24 hours? We'll have like a 24-hour rule, no politics. And why would you not wish that that person lived? Why would you be happy or say you don't have any sympathy for the victims because they're probably Republicans? Well, how about they're all Americans? You know, and how do you know? Because, well, they're country music fans. They must all be Republican. You want to, it gets even more despicable than this. You got a teacher. When did I see this? I saw it, I guess Kevin Jackson tweeted, but sent this out on his network. And he, where does Kevin, doesn't Kevin Jackson, he live there for a while? Yeah, he lives there. Anyway, oh, he lives in Missouri now. Okay. Anyway, that you got a teacher tweeting out, well, pray only the Trump-tards die. Pretty severe. You know, another other celebrations on social media, you know, let's celebrate white Trump supporters being killed in Vegas massacre. And then the politicians get in it. Hillary Clinton, our grief isn't enough. We can and must put politics aside, stand up to the NRA, and work together to try and stop this from happening again. The crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths of the shooter at a silencer. It would have probably been the same, because people pretty quickly got out of the way when you see people dropping. Elizabeth Warren similarly politicizing the event. You know, just like all weekend long, we watched the whole issue of Puerto Rico with no context, texture, or truth being told by the media, which I had tweeted out. Our own Adam Housley from the Fox News Channel is joining us now on our newsmaker line. What's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
All right, you're in Vegas. You've been on the ground there. Let's talk about what we're finding out, any of the news, latest information you're getting from police and elsewhere. The family of the shooter, they're now out there saying that apparently, I guess the father was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. And they said there's nothing political, nothing religious in his background, nothing that would have in any way given them any clue that this guy held these radical views that he'd go out and kill people.
You know, what we're hearing here, I mean, I think the question that a lot of people, the few people that have even heard about what the family has said, their frustration was the family saying, oh, he didn't show any signs. And being here, Sean, and looking at the way this was planned out, I mean, the room he ended up in is not a room that you just get randomly. You know, the room he ended up in is a room that was completely, it had to have been planned ahead, because there's so many other rooms in this hotel that don't have that same view, that don't have an unobstructed multiple window view of down here. The one thing I have learned is this: it's a 2-room suite. I've met a doctor who happens to be happens to follow me on one of the social media sites, so I've contacted him and we've chatted. He was here last year on the exact same day, and he had the exact same room and took video of it. So I've watched the video, and it is a wall of glass in a couple of different directions, basically facing east and facing northeast, completely unobstructed down. He actually pans the video down so you can see last year's setup, which is very similar to this year's setup.
So it's premeditated.
You can see everything down there, Sean.
Yeah, so it's all premeditated. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But what makes a man do this? You know, they say, oh, we have no signs. You know, they have to have something. There's something there. And, you know, granted, they're in the middle of an investigation. You got to make sure you keep that you know, to as close to the vest as possible. Understood. But there is something there. They're not telling us. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. In the meantime, I'm standing here looking at the crime scene right now, Sean.
What do you think the something is that they're not telling us? Because I'm getting the same vibe and the same feel here. You know, it just seems too clean in the sense that he just decided to do this, but yet he premeditated the whole thing, and he got the exact room, so he had the exact view, as you point out, that it happened last year.
He had it since he got the rooms last Thursday, so he knew he was there. He waited till the very end, the crescendo of the entire festival, when people would be probably the most inebriated at the same time, most, you know, least likely to jump, you know, could be pyrotechnics. I mean, this was completely planned. As someone who snaps doesn't do that.
That's a good point.
I mean, I talked to an FBI profiler who's a friend of mine.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said, no way.
Well, they also had all those weapons. I mean, those weapons were made to reach that distance and then some.
Another issue. Yes. And another issue with that. So I know there's been a lot of talk about the clips and how what size clip he had. I'm told from a military expert who has been fantastic. I've known him for years. He is spot on. He says, Adam, no way is that a clip. No way is that a clip you can purchase in California or Nevada. Those were either illegally obtained or that he has to have a special permit from the military, I believe, to get that clip. He said that was fed. There's no way. If you hear that, the amount of rounds that went off, it didn't stop. So either he had two guns going at the exact same time, even that doesn't make sense because
automatic weapons, if you're looking for the legality of all this, require extensive background checks from the FBI and the ATF. That's federal law prohibiting the possession of newly manufactured machine guns, but allows the transfer of older guns prior to 1986. So there's not exactly a lot of them out there on the market anyway.
True. My military guy, we have a lot of them as you do as well, Sean. He says that it's very likely a pan or drum magazine or a belt fed. Again, all those would be completely illegal to have unless you have a special permit, which is almost impossible to get. So this was all illegally obtained. And that's what needs to be, you know, this man illegally obtained in preparation for this. I mean, this went on. So something from the profilers that I've spoken to and the fact that I've covered these things before, you know, I hate to say it, but covered Aurora. That individual obviously had mental issues that came out, and he snapped and walked into a movie theater randomly. That didn't happen here. He didn't randomly walk into a music concert and open fire. He methodically made sure he had a room that had an exact unobstructed view from two different angles. Mm-hmm. He got that room significant days ahead of time to ensure he had it. He had multiple weapons, 10 weapons found inside. He had special clips or feeds or however you want to call them. I may not be using the right terminology, but you know where I'm going, to be able to fire as many rounds as he possibly could without interruption. That is not someone who snaps from just my – that's just my intuition. I'm covered from doing this job for 15, 16 years.
Do you find that investigators into this are being unnaturally quiet? I mean, you've been a reporter all these years and one of the very best at it.
I just think in their defense in this, Sean, being out here, I just think the magnitude of it. I mean, there's still bodies in there. I mean, it was insane. I mean, I think part of it is just the magnitude of all this. I mean, in a few days, sure, that can definitely be approached. Right now, my gut says that, I mean, this was like nothing they'd ever seen or any of us had ever seen or would hope to see. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, we got here, you know, 30 minutes after the shooting began. They were still in tactical gear. There still were supposed to be other shooters in other buildings. I mean, it was insane, and people were coming out with blood all over them. And, you know, guys, a lot of the blood was from other people. But they were just stories of, you know, one person saying he's standing there, and he knew that it was a shooting when the girl next to him got shot in the head. I mean, imagine that. You're at a concert.
Jesus.
Pow, 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 and the girl next to you goes down. I mean, that's just
unimaginable.
Things that I couldn't even imagine.
Unimaginable.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Adam, we'll see you tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, our new time. We appreciate it. And again, I go back, I don't know how people can politicize things. CBS executives who raised eyebrows after the vicious comments by this lawyer, the network's lawyer, kicked off this media storm because she said she had no sympathy because country fans are often Republicans. And if they wouldn't do anything when children were murdered, I have no hope Republicans would do the right thing anyway. I'm actually not even sympathetic because country music fans are Republican gun toters. Anyway, apparently those comments were too much for CBS, and they just decided to axe that executive attorney. You know, this is what we've been watching all weekend, though. Now, I just know for a fact that all of those, you know, we had pre-positioned food and water and medicine and supplies for Puerto Rico. You know, I'm looking at, we have San Juan's, you know, the mayor of Puerto Rico, their largest city, San Juan, Puerto Rico, you know, makes a spectacle of herself, you know, turning the hurricane into a full-throated attack on President Trump, and he defended himself. And we find out she is a huge Hillary supporter. She's standing in front of literally crates and crates full of supplies that the government sent in, saying, I'm mad as hell. People's lives are at stake. How about distributing the food that you had there? If you read Stars and Stripes from last Thursday, the Pentagon had deployed 5,000 troops to deliver the supplies that were pre-positioned for Puerto Rico. Army Lieutenant General Jeffrey Buchanan took command of the military portion of the rescue and relief operations on the island. Nobody in the media said anything about this all weekend long. And like usual, they just want to politicize it. You can see all of the supplies that were there. And then you take it a step further. You know, the mayor stands literally among pallets and pallets and pallets of supplies, complaining there's not enough help here. And Puerto Rico's facing a life and death crisis in front of the supplies we'd sent. And then you've got another mayor in Puerto Rico refuting what Carmen Yulín Cruz had openly criticized the federal government for, and the mayor of that city directly borders San Juan, Puerto Rico, casts all the doubt who was criticizing Trump, and meanwhile, she's a lifelong Democrat. And then Trump aides accuse the media, we've got 7,000 military people on the ground and all the supplies you'd ever want. The only big problem they've had is getting enough truck drivers. So now they're using helicopters and they're dropping the supplies on the ground to the people that deserve and are getting the help that they need. All right, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back in the next hour, eyewitnesses that were on the stage, John Rich of Big and Rich, and Kaya Jones, who was on stage as well at the concert, will be joining us. More on the massacre at the Mandalay and much more as the Sean Hannity Show continues. All right, we just got breaking news. The USC active shooter story, it's all clear. We'll watch, wait, monitor all of that on top of all the other breaking news. When we come back, the latest on the Mandalay massacre, 58 dead, 515 injured. And our eyewitnesses will check in, John Rich and Kaya Jones. And full coverage, don't forget our new time, Hannity tonight at 9 on Fox.
Processing this, it's very, very upsetting.
I'm just absolutely blown away. I mean, I'm sitting here inside a bus, 100 feet from the stage that I was standing on when this started happening. I'm watching the news now saying that there's more than 50 people deceased and 200 injured, and we were in the middle of it. I mean, when the shots started being fired and you could hear it ricocheting off the top of the roof of the stage, we started just running in any direction we could because you didn't know where it was coming from. You know, if someone was on the ground, you didn't know where it was coming from. And at one point, I was kind of sitting on the ground behind a car with about 20 other people crouched down behind the car, and just the fear in everyone's eyes, but yet the feeling of everyone looking for someone to make sure they were okay was, I've just never experienced anything like this before.
What did you think was happening, Jake, when you first heard the shots? Number one, did you know they were shots?
Well, ironically enough, when I walked up on the stage earlier enough, they were pretty, the security was pretty tight because Jason uses pyrotechnics, and I think the fire marshal didn't want a lot of people back to stage or side stage due to the fire that would come off those pyrotechnics. So when I was standing up there talking to my buddy Luke Combs, who was also an artist on the show, all of a sudden you heard him start, you heard these pops start, and I thought it was perhaps the pyrotechnics, and then I realized once it started, like it literally sounded like a full-on automatic Uzi or machine gun that was coming. That's when you knew that it was not the pyrotechnics and it was someone shooting an automatic rifle.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. A Mandalay massacre as the massive headline on the Drudge Report. It's one of the saddest photos I think I've seen, but there are many like them, where you can see the whole area that is cleared out and you only see bodies laying in the middle of the field of the nearly 30,000 attendees to this concert. That last cut you just heard was from country music star Jake Owen giving his account of what happened there. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to check in with John Rich and Kaya Jones. They had just been on stage an hour before all of this happened. If you look at it, as it now can go down in history as the biggest shooting incident in American history, the biggest mass shooting incident in American history. Not a distinction I think anybody would want to be proud of. We now have the gunman, and we've identified him, and he was on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay, as Adam Housley was telling us in the last hour. Clearly, this was premeditated in terms of the attack. He had to get all these weapons into the Mandalay Bay. How did he do that? When did that happen? Not sure it's relevant in any way, but his father was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list as a bank robber. We have some reports of an ISIS connection, but there's absolutely no evidence of it. I'm not sure why people are running rampant with it. And yes, I see you all on Twitter. It may all turn out to be true, but we can't. We got to have facts before we do it. I'd like to know what was found in this guy's hotel room. I'd like to know what's in there. I'd like to have it confirm what was in there. And I do have some people that I trust on Twitter sending me information, so I'm very aware of what all of you are reading right now, and I'm going to keep my eye on it, I promise you. And anyway, so now we have 58 dead, 500 injured, and then, of course, then you've got the instinctive rush to politicize all of this, which should nauseate everybody, but apparently doesn't nauseate enough people. Dan Bongino is with us, former Secret Service agent, NYPD. Jonathan Gillum, Navy SEAL, former FBI, Federal Air Marshal. Brian Finch is a senior fellow at George Washington Center for Cyber Homeland Security. Brian, one of the things that we almost find instantaneously after any of these attacks is some type of fingerprint online about the individual that's responsible that gives us clues into what the possible motivation is. I've not seen anything here that gives me any conclusive background or information. Your thoughts?
Well, this may be a function of the shooter's age, Sean. We're talking about a gentleman who's in his mid-60s, and you know, while there's plenty of people in that demographic who are on Facebook and some other social media sites, they certainly don't constitute the primary users of a lot of social media websites or posting their life, basically, on the Internet. So, it doesn't necessarily surprise me in that regard. I mean, people can make comments, et cetera, but this isn't going to be like one of my teenage daughters who entire life is exposed, whether they like it or not, on the Internet, and every one of their thoughts is dumped out there.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Dan Bongino. Dan, look, I don't know if we have any insight at all. I'm not sure if this lawsuit that was brought, a slip and fall suit that was brought, gives us any indication. His brother said that he had known him 50-whatever years of his life, no political, no religious, no white supremacy in his background of any kind. But I just don't think it's obviously not normal for anyone just for no reason to just get those rooms, bring those guns up, and fire away randomly at a massive crowd like this.
Yeah, Sean, it doesn't make any sense. The Secret Service did a couple of studies, one the Exceptional Case Study Project, where they studied presidential assassinations, and the second one where they studied targeted violence, specifically school shootings. And one of the findings in both of those studies, the commonalities, was that the assassins and the people engaging in targeted violence and school shootings had told people that the indicators were in fact there. Well, in many cases of school shootings, they actually said they were going to attack, and nobody took them seriously. So your analysis is correct. It's just very strange that at this point, we're now hours removed from this, and nobody has come forward and said, hey, I was at the range with him last week, or I take a class with him, and he kind of, something was just wrong there. So, yeah, you're right. It is very strange.
Isn't it likely, Jonathan, that they do have more information than they're telling? And I'm not necessarily saying they should share it with us, but it's likely they know something at this point.
Well, I'd say it's more than likely. It's obvious that they're going to have, as soon as they go into the individual's home, his neighbor, whoever this, or roommate, whoever this woman was, they can start to gain a lot of the information and the footprint, if you will, of who this individual actually is. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, there's been a lot of people concerned with how can you get this many guns into a hotel. I was a bellman before I did all these things in unconventional warfare and investigations. I was a bellman when I was in college. Nobody checks how many bags you bring up or the speed at which you bring them up. It's, sometimes there's odd people doing odd things, but it's a hotel. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it's going to go. But it's shocking to see this stuff. And I know Dan having been in the Secret Service, and they do these threat assessments. I did them for the FBI here in New York. People are just not ready to realize that these things are going to happen. And the reactions that I saw, Sean, a friend of mine, he's in the military, his friend's in the military, his wife died in his arms last night at this attack.
Ugh.
Shocking.
It's unbelievable. I'm not the biggest fan, Dan Bongino, of, you know, well, he fits the profile of this or that. I was telling somebody last night, a friend of mine, that I was there when Richard Jewell, the day that Richard Jewell was the AJC, they put out an article that, well, he fits the profile of the lone bomber. He lives with his mom. I'm like, yeah. Okay, so he lives with his mom. Maybe, so a lot of people live with their mom. They don't have money. He was a security guard. He doesn't make a lot of money. That doesn't give us a full indication. Now, if you're part of a particular group, look, I know, for example, the FBI will say if you are a, what do you call, serial killer, the odds are you're between, if I'm not mistaken, the ages of 30 and 45 and a white male, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of these profiles are based on the past, but when you get black swan events like this, that's totally useless. I mean, I remember going through Secret Service school, and they said that the prevailing thought about suicide bombing prior to the Tamil Tigers was that women would never engage in it, until they did. So you're right. These profiles are only useful for diagnosing what happened in the past, not for what happened now. But I do agree that this, this is a very, very strange shooting. The more you read about the shooter, he's apparently a licensed pilot, had a little bit of money. It really doesn't fit any useful profile what we had in targeted violence in the past. So, I think everybody's scratching their heads on this one.
But that's changing, you know, Sean. That's changing because there's been people now, and not just people, but a lot of speculation, could this person have been a left-wing activists because of the amount of shootings
reading,
that we've had.
I'm reading it all online right now.
Right.
I see all the Twitter sphere and I see social media, you know, but I don't want to do what I think the media does too often. I mean, I was the guy that was critical because Obama is an attorney and as the president used the power of that pulpit and went out there and rushed the judgment in the Zimmerman case and the Trayvon mm-hmm. Martin case. He did it in Cambridge and he did it in Ferguson, Missouri, and he did it in Baltimore with Freddie Gray. I just think you have to wait for the facts to come in. And maybe I'll ask Brian this. Brian, why is there nothing at this point? I understand the age disparity, but there probably is that one person out there, apparently had a girlfriend. You know, I only read that they interviewed her on the phone. Why isn't she being brought in?
Well, I'm sure they're actually investigating her at this point, and there were two vehicles that they've apparently located at this point. And remember, this is a casino, too, so they're going to be able to piece together a lot of information if there was anybody else. I mean, a casino is, unlike a lot of hotels, it's got some of the best surveillance in the world where they're constantly monitoring people, mostly for cheating, obviously, but they're going to be able to see who's coming and going. So I think the law enforcement is doing the right thing at this point. They are taking their time, which isn't necessarily what we want in the media, and a lot of media outlets, not you, Sean, but you know, want immediate answers, and the public is hungry for an answer. Well, why? Why would anyone do something so absolutely despicable? My heart goes out to everybody who's been touched by this.
It just, you know, they need to get it right. They need to understand, see if there are any lessons learned from this. Maybe it will help identify what happened, why it happened, and how they could respond better, they could respond better.
Well, I think we've got to learn from it. Apparently, his brother even said he liked to gamble, so we ought to be able to find some footage of him in some of these casinos. Probably I'd start with the Mandalay Bay. What happened? Right. Apparently, Linda said you met with the DHS last week. What happened with that?
Well, we've actually, over a number of years, we've represented a number of sports facilities, entertainment venues, et cetera. And look, active shooter issues are something that always come up in these types of discussions. They've gone on for years, and some people may throw out, well, there should be metal detectors at the entrance of every facility, of every hotel. Well, it's kind of like, if you do that, then you have a situation like you have an airport and other terrorist attacks where the terrorists just decide to go from inside the hotel to where people are lined up at the metal detectors. It's a queuing issue. And
stay right there. When we get back, I also want to talk about the race to politicize all of this. Dan Bongino, Jonathan Gillum, Brian Fincher with us. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. 558 dead, 515 plus injured. The worst mass shooting attack in American history. CBS has fired its dumbest VP and special counsel, senior counsel ever, who sent out a Facebook note, well, I'm not even sympathetic to the victims in Vegas because their country music fans are often Republican. Oh, let's kill every Republican, pretty much he's saying. You got all over social media, white Trump supporters are being killed in the Vegas massacre. You got a teacher praying only Trump tards died in this. And then, of course, the rush to politicize this. Dan Bongino, it's not surprising. It's sad. You know, bodies in the morgue aren't even cold yet.
Yeah.
You got parents called in to identify their own children. You got parents in hospitals. We're not getting reports of it, but 515, I'm sure some of them are literally hanging on for dear life right now. And now we're going to politicize what is obviously a tragedy.
Right. This is still an active crime scene. Well, it goes to speak to the divide between conservatives and liberals. You know, we see liberals as bad ideas attached to people. Liberals see us as bad people attached to ideas. It's really sick. And when you think that way, you live in a moral vacuum. There are no morals. There's only the power of the state and basically suppressing the ideas of these bad people. I mean, Sean, it's really gross what's happened. I heard she was fired, this CBS exec. I've seen a couple reports on it, and that's really a very disturbing story.
Yeah, just fired. All right, using your best law enforcement mind, I'll ask you, Jonathan, I'll start with you. What are they looking for now? What are the odds they found a lot more than we know?
Well, immediately when something like this happens, you're going to have, it's almost like two investigations where you're going to have an investigation at the scene trying to determine what exactly happened at the scene. And then you'll have, as soon as they can identify who this individual is, you're going to see a background, almost a thorough background investigation on this individual to try to find out if there's any links, if this person, if there was another shooter. There's an immediate investigation and a long-term investigation as well.
Did you hear two guns? Some people have all been all over social media. Had to be two. I didn't hear two. I heard one.
It's, you know, with the echo off the buildings, it's hard to tell.
But they should be able to find out.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you all. Dan Bongino, Jonathan Gillum, Brian Finch, thank you. When we come back, they were on stage 1 hour before it happened. And we'll check in with John Rich and Kaya Jones, and we'll get to your phone calls coming up straight ahead.
What's going on, Timmy? You're coming from upstairs in the Mandalay Bay. Upstairs, Mandalay Bay, halfway up, I see the shots coming from Mandalay Bay. We have multiple casualties. GSWs at the medical tent. Multiple casualties.
Repeat, just be advised, it is automatic fire. Fully automatic fire from an elevated position. Take cover.
Multiple GSWs to the chest, legs, femoral arteries, then a medical tent. At the medical tent, 4A, off of Guile, south of Reno.
Breach.
Last night, we started receiving calls of an active shooter at the Route 91 Harvest Festival, located adjacent to the Mandalay Bay Resort. We were receiving information that there was an active shooter that was firing rounds from the 32nd floor, and that individuals that were attending the festival, the number is estimated to be 22,000, were being struck by those rounds. Currently, the Clark County Fire Department is estimating the injuries to be over 400. and the deaths associated with this event to be over 50. I can't give you an exact number yet because we're still investigating some of the areas involving the event where the concert was taking place, and we're still exiting individuals that were hidden, and it's just a matter of a process. So it's going to take quite a while for us to completely get through the evacuation phase, and then eventually we will have an assessment on the injuries associated with that. Now, our suspect was identified as Stephen Craig Paddock, 64 years old, a white male from Mesquite, Nevada. We have no investigative information or background associated with this individual that is derogatory. The only thing we can tell is he received a citation several years ago, and that citation was handled as a matter of normal practice in the court system.
All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show 24 now till the top of the hour, some of the unfolding moments of this massacre at the Mandalay over the weekend, late over last night. Now we have confirmed 58 dead, over 515 injured. And, of course, we've discussed how, you know, the tragedy, the sadness of all of this, and what we know in terms of why what would motivate somebody to do anything this absolutely horrifically evil is beyond any human understanding at times. Joining us were two people that were there the entire night. John Rich was on the stage 90 minutes prior to all of this happening. And Kaya Jones, artist and an outspoken supporter of the president, she was there as well at the Route 91 Music Festival. Guys, I know you've had a traumatic night and time, and why don't you walk us through everything that was going on, where you were at the time. John, we'll start with you.
Hey, Sean. So, yeah, it was about 90 minutes prior to this all taking place. Big and Rich was on stage. Actually, Kaya came out on stage with us as well, because we do we always bring up veterans on stage and honor them and read their names and we sing God Bless America. We were singing God Bless America, Sean, 90 minutes before this happened, with 30,000 people all holding up lights and singing God Bless America mm-hmm. in unison. Mm-hmm. And so what happened right after the Big and Rich show is I own a country music bar in Las Vegas just down the strip from Mandalay Bay. So we all went over there to play some music over there before we were going to leave town. And in the middle of us playing music, we get the reports. And what they told us was it was multiple shooters at that point. Mm-hmm. And my venue has one whole side of it is solid glass. And it's facing about five major hotels, Caesars, Cosmopolitan, Bellagio, bunch of hotels, Bally's. So what I did is we shut off all the music. I told everybody what was going on. And we moved everybody away over to the solid walls of the venue of my bar's called Redneck Riviera. So we moved them all over to the side. And I saw a man comes up to me and he shows me his badge, and I'm not sure if he was an FBI guy or if he was just an officer, but from Minnesota. He was there with his wife for their honeymoon, and he came up to me and he showed me his badge and he says, "Are you armed?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am armed." He goes, "Okay, well, I'm not armed. So if you will allow me, can I have your firearm? I'm going to hold point on this front door." Because, Sean, we were literally dead center of the strip. So for all we knew, there were people, you know, about to come through the doors. So this guy holds point on the front door for about 2.5 hours while the rest of us kind of got in as safe a location as possible. And Kaya was there the entire time as well.
Kaya, talk us through from your perspective. I mean, this is also your hometown.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was just such an honor to be asked up on stage with the guys. You know, they're honoring our veterans. It's a beautiful moment. You feel the energy of the crowd. It was every color, creed, religion. Everyone was having an incredible moment of unity, which is, you know, what this kind of festival and festivals of music are about. So to think that, you know, two performers later, you know, we had just gotten to John's venue, the bar, and, you know, they jump up on stage and I'm tapped on the shoulder and I'm told, "Hey, there's an active shooter." The guys didn't even know, because I think they were worried to pull the guys off stage or let them know too soon, because we weren't sure if it was real. So I was tapped before they even knew. And you know, once they knew, John had to alert everyone in the bar, you know, turn off all the music. It was just very intense. And I mean, to think that, you know, who plays God, so to speak, in a moment like that? You know, it could have been John. It could have been Big Kenny. It could have been the veterans that were on that stage. And to me, you know, the argument right now, which I am hearing of this chatter of, you know, attacking gun laws and rights, you know, there are people today that are dead. There are families that have lost a family member. Give them some respect in this time. This should not be about this active shooter's gun. It should be about the fact that this evil human being took lives last night, innocent lives. That's what it should be about. And less guns don't equal less terrorists. That's just how I feel.
You know, I can't. It's almost so unconscionable. And it'll be the focus, you know, look, there is human evil. I mean, you only need to look at the last 100 years of human history. And you're talking about through wars and Nazism and fascism. And now we deal with radical Islamists and so on and so forth. And these incidents have happened all too often. I don't understand a compulsion to rush and to race and to politicize everything. I mean, you got a top CBS lawyer saying, well, there's no sympathy for Vegas victims. They were probably Republicans. You've got leftists celebrating, well, white Trump supporters are being killed in a Vegas massacre. You know, you had somebody else tweet out about this. Pray only the Trump tards died in this. And and then within minutes, you know, bodies are warm in morgues. Parents are identifying whether
That's
or
right.
not it's their children. They're in hospitals
That's
and
right.
people are literally fighting to hang on to life, and
That's
it all
right.
gets politicized. You know, John, I know you're not too political in that sense, but it's almost like there's a whole group of people. Well, we don't like you at all because of what we think or assume your political views are.
You know, Sean, I'll go back to what I said earlier, which was 90 minutes prior to this, those 30,000 people in unison were singing.
Yeah.
God bless America at the top of their lungs. And it was not a Republican group of people or a Democrat group of people. It was just a giant group of people. There was all kinds of people there. There were people there from Nevada. There were people there from California, from Arizona. There were people that there were eight major country radio stations on site because this is such a huge event that country fans had driven in from multiple states. You're just talking about Americans standing out there. So I'm not going to dignify any of those disgusting comments with a comment because I have no comment. I don't care to even speak to people that
but you know
make statements like that.
You know, John, I've always carried a firearm my entire adult life. I've had licenses to carry, and I do now, one in New York and Rhode Island and California and Alabama and Georgia. And, you know, if something horrible is happening, let's say the person was in the crowd, you at least have a fighting chance to stop it. And if there's...
Well, I can...
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I can tell you where we were holed up, Sean, at my little country music joint there in Vegas. The first thing this officer says, because he's off duty, he walks up to me and he goes, I can't believe I'm not armed right now. Are you armed? And I was the only guy. And I said, yes, sir. And so, you know, thank God nobody came through that front door. But if they had of, you've got a guy there that is a professional, that's an officer of the law and knows what he's doing. And I happen to have something to put in his hand, so there was some type of defense in case that happened. But I just want to go back, just the image of that is stuck in my head is looking out and seeing everybody held up their iPhones and they turned on the light, you know, the bright light on your phone. They held them up. 30,000 of these lights, Sean, are up above everybody's head. You're talking about.
I have that
moment. You're talking about. There's no politics in that moment. There's no religion in that moment. There's nothing but American unity and being proud of our country and all singing a song together, which is the most unifying thing you can do, which is to sing together. And that's what was going on 90 minutes prior to this. So anybody that wants to say this is political or say these disgusting things, they're so out of touch with what the moment actually was.
You know what? We're going to find Kaya's Periscope, and, you know, we should put up there 90 minutes before the shooting, and we'll find it on Twitter and we'll tweet it out on my account. And Kaya, I guess, you know, I did speak to you earlier today. I mean, this is obviously traumatic and transformative for you. I mean, you're right there where it's happening just before it happens. And, you know, I'm looking at the images. I mean, blood and just everybody scattering and, you know, those few people that were killed and injured just laying in an open field at that point because everybody else was running for cover.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was insanity. And we were hearing chatter of all sorts when we were barricaded, you know, in the bar. And I mean, I'm just so at odds with feeling guilt and feeling blessed because we had such an incredible crew of people that are, you know, the big and rich family crew, and being able to get out easily because of their tour bus and, you know, John having a gun that could hand it to an officer. And he kept everyone really calm, believe it or not. You know, he wasn't just a star in the show. He kind of held everyone together in a really scary moment. So I'm really grateful that the people we were with were, you know, now a part of my family in my mind because we experienced something together that no one, unless you were there, understands that feeling of helplessness. And I'm just grateful that I was surrounded with some awesome human beings.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad all of you are okay. And I'm also glad we can share that moment that both of you were talking about 90 minutes prior. And the politics of all this, you can't stop people that are going to politicize tragedy or race or rush to politicize tragedy. But when people see these images tonight, I don't know how you go from the images to, oh, let's have a debate, because the timing doesn't work for me. And because you got people literally, as I said earlier, fighting for their lives. Kaya Jones,
That's
John
right.
Rich, we'll see you both on television tonight. Thank you both for sharing the story and bringing, I think, an important aspect to this was, you know, who these people were, what they were like, what this crowd was like, and why the senselessness of this evil need not happen. And thank you both. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. All right, coming up next, wide open telephones. I know a lot of you want to react and much more as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN is a toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Let's get to some of our busy phones. I know many of you have been patient here. We'll have more time for calls in the next hour. Doug in North Carolina. Doug, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm doing great, Sean. Hey, I called on Friday, and I was going to try and back you up on some of the Dr. Seuss discussion and the football players kneeling down and those things that seem like light years ago and incredibly trivial now. And I'll tell you, you know, all of us in the military, the freedoms that we protect are to allow festivals like this to go on. And where I'm stationed, we've had almost every one of these headlining performers at our base in the last 5 years or so. And it's just great what they give to our country. And you know, what you were talking about on Friday, and that stuff just seems so trivial. I hope that the people that are kneeling at football games and whatever else they're doing will see this and wake up and just really take it to heart and think about what they're doing when they do that.
So funny you say that.
I mean, this will change them.
I had a lot to say about what happened this weekend, and you're right. It kind of seems insignificant and trivial now, right?
Yeah. You know, I am just in my job in the military. I've worked with kids for a long, long time. I've been in a long time. And, you know, the Dr. Seuss thing, yeah, I was going to tell you some stuff about that, just how stupid that is and how wrong it is, actually. And, you know, specific Dr. Seuss books that are about racial equality and racial harmony. And so, you know, but again, that's not what you're talking about today. It just seems trivial and trifling. And unfortunately, I've not gotten to hear a lot of the news today because of the work cycle. But, you know, just I was just listening to your show as I was on hold, and I was horrified to hear that there are people out there saying the things that they're saying about, oh, hopefully these are all this kind of American or that kind of American, not people like us or whatever.
It's unbelievable.
That's just so disgusting.
Wait till you see. I got a monologue tonight that I don't think you're going to want to miss, and I'll say what needs to be said about this because it is unconscionable. And it's like, have you people no decency? That's the moment it is. You know, bodies are literally still warm in a morgue, and mothers and fathers are at morgues identifying and hospitals identifying their dead children. And they're clinging to life, other kids. It's just so anger inducing.
Yeah.
Last night, we started receiving calls of an active shooter at the Route 91 Harvest Festival, located adjacent to the Mandalay Bay Resort. We were receiving information that there was an active shooter that was firing rounds from the 32nd floor, and that individuals that were attending the festival, and the number is estimated to be 22,000, were being struck by those rounds. Currently, the Clark County Fire Department is estimating the injuries to be over 400 and the deaths associated with this event to be over 50. I can't give you an exact number yet because we're still investigating some of the areas involving the event where the concert was taking place, and we're still exiting individuals that were hidden, and it's just a matter of a process. So it's going to take quite a while for us to completely get through the evacuation phase, and then eventually we will have an assessment on the injuries associated with that. Now, our suspect was identified as Stephen Craig Paddock, 64 years old, a white male from Mesquite, Nevada. We have no investigative information or background associated with this individual that is derogatory. The only thing we can tell is he received a citation several years ago, and that citation was handled as a matter of normal practice in the court system.
All right, there you have it. The terrible tragedy and sounds of evil. The Mandalay Massacre is the headline on the Drudge Report all day today. And as we continue to update it, we got 58 dead, 518 injured. And we just heard from eyewitnesses and John Rich, who had been on stage. We just tweeted out the Periscope of Kaya Jones. She also was there 90 minutes prior to all this happening, and again, the shutdown. You know, there are amazing stories of honor and heroism in all this. I mean, just amazing people. I mean, I saw images. One of the things I saw that really stuck out is, you know, I watched one woman, you know, had a obviously a relative of on a wheelchair that went to the concert, pushing that person through the field as quickly as possible. You got images now of an empty field and one or two people here and there just laying there. Can't tell by the image if they're dead, but they're filled with blood. And I saw other images where people were just trying to hide any place they could get a little bit of cover. And, you know, one of the things you see is you see, I saw in one case, there was an image of like a bunch of boys and girls together. And the boys were like covering the girlfriend so that they wouldn't get hit with bullets. Same with children being covered by parents or loved ones. And then you just have the again, when times of trouble come, those horrible police officers, you know, the ones that Black Lives Matter says pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, and Colin Kaepernick puts on his socks depicting them as pigs. And they're the guys that go out there and find the people that are responsible for horror, and they put their lives in jeopardy. I just have never seen a race like this to politicize something like this as quickly as we saw it today. Oh, they're country music fans, so CBS lawyer, top lawyer for CBS. Well, I'm not even sympathetic to the victims in Vegas because country music fans are often Republican. How does your mind go there? You know, you got people, I mean, social media has a viciousness to it, which kind of just turned me off to a little bit. Some people, why don't you go fighting all these liberals in the media like you used to? And I'm like, I just, there's no point because it's just like, no matter, if I said I'm giving every American $1 million, I'd still, that's not enough. You're an evil, vicious hate monger, and so on and so forth. Somebody tweeting, lots of white Trump supporters in Vegas and Route 21 watching Jason Aldean. Pray the Trumptards died. Pretty sick. Leftist teacher tweeted that out. You know, really? Okay. Then within hours, people, we haven't identified all the victims. We don't know exactly how many people are going to ultimately be dead out of all this. And there's Hillary Clinton tweeting out, oh, Americans should stand up to the NRA. Oh, really? We're going to go right to a a debate on this? Okay. Did we ban fertilizer after the Oklahoma City bombing? Her husband was the president at the time, but he was blaming talk radio back then. This impulse that the left has to politicize tragedy, just like what is being told and what has been told as it relates to Puerto Rico, it just isn't true. It hasn't been true. And it hasn't been true from the beginning. You know, you got the mayor out there, a Hillary supporter, life or death crisis. She's standing in front of pallets of food that she should be distributing. Doesn't bother to show up at any FEMA meetings either. And then we find out from all the other politicians there that it's just not true. John Matthews is the founder of the Community Safety Institute, decorated police, military veteran and law enforcement analyst, and former police lieutenant Randy Sutton of Vegas, 34-year veteran of the force. Thank you both for being with us. John, tell us from your perspective in the faith community, what's going on? And the safety issues.
Well, I think one of the things, and we saw it last night, is you had 22,000 people in that area. You had a 10, 12-foot fence all the way around the area. The shooter was well-prepared. I mean, he had been up there planning, probably scouting the area for days. And we as citizens have to be better prepared. I think one of the things that we looked at is we studied every mass shooting going back to 1980. And there are several things that you can do to help you and your family survive that an event like that. Finding cover, very, very important. There were several structures out there on the property, vending booths, other areas where you could find cover. And that's anything, Sean, that's going to protect you from a bullet. Steel, metal, it could be a vending machine, it could be equipment, it could be a generator. And if you can't find cover, find concealment. I saw that VIP tent emptied out quickly when the shooting started. People should have gone into the tent to be concealed and out of that shooter's line of sight. So there's a lot of things that we can be doing, protecting our kids and talking to our family even before we go to one of those events. I've got six kids, Sean, and I talk to my kids every time we go to an event and say, hey, if anything happens, daddy's going to take care of you, and this is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to meet. Be situationally aware.
Well, but even if you're situationally aware, I mean, you know, there's certain things we can't stop and live life. And going to a concert is part of living life. Going to a sporting event is part of living life. Part of going to a mall is part of living life.
And you can live life. You just need to be prepared, not paranoid. You need to be able to size up the situation. I've been in law enforcement for 3 decades, and I do it as a matter of practice. And I think with a little training that everybody can do that. Everybody can be looking at where the other exits are. How can I get out, or where could I hide if the most horrific event happens? You know, we've seen this over and over again in Manchester and Paris. You know, we've seen these people that are bent on killing innocent citizens. They plant bombs at choke points. They block off escape routes. You know, they watch for days as these events are prepared and everything. So we as citizens have to arm ourselves by being knowledgeable, being prepared, and not be paranoid. Don't be afraid to go out to these venues, but talk to your kids before you get there.
Yeah, really well said. Former police lieutenant Randy Sutton of Vegas, what's your take on this? I mean, it seems to me if somebody, automatic guns are illegal, aren't they?
Well, they are illegal in the hands of some people. You have to get a special federal stamp in order to legally purchase a fully automatic firearm. However, since this individual, the suspect, didn't have any criminal history, he may have purchased these legally. He could be a collector. But the other option here is that these were modified weapons, that they were originally semi-automatic, but that they were altered and made into fully automatic. That's the ATF is going to have to examine those firearms, determine where they were manufactured, how they were manufactured, and if they were manufactured as fully automatic. But you could hear from the reports of the weapon that this was fully automatic gunfire, and that's how he was able to set his fire from that elevated position on the 32nd floor down into that intense crowd. Because all those people were in a very concentrated area, and he just rained down hell on those people. The hundreds and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. He must have been preparing for this attack for some time by bringing in all those weapons and getting them into the room, and then must have been just pounds and pounds and pounds of ammunition for those weapons. The fact of the matter is that He continued that intense fire, only with very short periods of which were apparently either reloading or, once he ran out of ammunition, picking up another weapon.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with John Matthews and former police lieutenant Randy Sutton of Vegas. 800-941-SHAWN is a toll-free telephone number. A lot of your calls coming up next half hour of the program as we continue. All right, as we continue with John Matthews, founder of the Community Safety Institute, decorated police military veteran, law enforcement analyst, and former police lieutenant Randy Sutton of Vegas. So I'm looking at the firearms laws in Vegas, and they found, 18 to 20 firearms, some fully automatic, in a room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay, according to law enforcement. And that's where it's suspected that this guy fired upon these thousands of concert goers. And that included AR-15 style, AK-47 style, et cetera, et cetera. It's in many ways relevant gun laws in Nevada are, you know, it probably was, is that it could have been legal in this particular case. But isn't the reality that you can still get fertilizer and blow up a building like we saw at the Murrah building? Isn't it an argument that everything we see in Europe, it's a different weapon almost every time? It's going to be a car or a car bomb or an IED or dynamite. I mean, we see if somebody has evil in their heart, you know, if you ban one thing, aren't they going to use something else?
Yeah, Sean, these attacks are occurring all over the world. They're occurring with vehicles armed with explosives. They're occurring with people with knives, simply knives, that are going out and attacking. In London, we see them running over people and then grabbing machetes. And so you're right. If people are intent on hurting others, on doing evil in our society, they're going to be out there. And that's what law enforcement is for, is to protect them. And I just want to take a note to say, listen, I saw some great things out there. I saw citizens tearing down tables, tearing down barricades, loading their fellow citizens on them and carrying them out. They made man-made stretchers. I saw citizens volunteering their cars and trucks to take people to the hospital. And so there's good out there. We've got to focus on that good, and we've got to help people know how to survive these situations.
Yeah. Your reaction, Lieutenant?
Yeah. There's without a doubt that we have seen that these when people are bent on destruction, they'll use any thing that they can get their hands on, including trucks and knives and machetes and all kinds of other stuff. That being said, I mean, you simply cannot ban weapons. It's not going to happen. It will never happen. It shouldn't happen. But the fact that is that since he had these weapons, which were capable of such incredible firepower, what it did was it created the body count that we are seeing. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that millions and millions of these weapons are in the hands of good law-abiding citizens who are using them for self-defense, or using them for hunting, or using them for recreational purposes. And because one wacko punk like this goes out and commits this incredibly cruel and heinous crime, it's just the liberal left that this is their MO. The minute a weapon is used, this is the rallying cry for the hysterical response that they're famous for.
Yeah, and again, it's not going to solve the problem. And not only that, there's an appropriate time to debate everything, and seconds after, you know, a mass shooting is not the time to politicize it. John, we'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think we saw when we had the school shootings in the 90s and 2000s, we put a lot of money in training for officers, for students, for staff, and we've seen a sizable reduction there. I think we need to do the same thing here. We need to train our citizens, work with law enforcement, be better prepared, and let's stop these events before they happen or mitigate the damage when they occur.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll have all the latest on all of this and the politicizing of it and the magnitude of what has happened here. 58 confirmed dead, 515 injured, many fighting for their lives as we speak. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
You won't hear the mainstream press talking about this stuff. Sean Hannity is on the radio.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. We're going to hit the phones here in a minute. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. Let's go back and listen to the president, unlike Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton and those on the left all over social media. Social media is just at times filled with vitriol and hate. It is, you can't even describe it. No sympathy for Vegas victims, a top CBS lawyer. They're probably Republicans. You know, wow, white Trump supporters are being killed in a Vegas massacre. Wow, let's see. Pray only Trump-tards died. It's too hard to even begin to comprehend that kind of hate. And that's where some people's minds go during times like this. But they do. Here's what the president said earlier today about this massacre at the Mandalay.
My fellow Americans, we are joined together today in sadness, shock, and grief. Last night, a gunman opened fire on a large crowd at a country music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful. It shows what true professionalism is all about. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today and always will, forever. In times such as these, I know we are searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. But we can take solace knowing that even the darkest space can be brightened by a single light, and even the most terrible despair can be illuminated by a single ray of hope. Melania and I are praying for every American who has been hurt, wounded, or lost, the ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you.
I'll be leaving for Puerto Rico with the First Lady We are going to be seeing all of the first responders, the military, FEMA, and frankly, most importantly, we're going to be seeing the people of Puerto Rico. We've been very, it's been amazing what's been done in a very short period of time on Puerto Rico. There's never been a piece of land that we've known that was so devastated. The bridges are down, the telecommunications was non-existent, and it's in very, very bad shape. The electrical grid, as you know, was totally destroyed. But we've gotten tremendous amounts of food and water and lots of other things, supplies, generally speaking, on the island. So we're going to be going tomorrow morning, first thing, very early. We're also going to be meeting with Governor Matt of the U.S. Virgin Islands. He's going to probably, because of the difficulty in getting into the Virgin Islands, he's probably going to meet us in Puerto Rico. And then, very importantly, also on Wednesday morning, very early, we're going to be leaving for Las Vegas, where we're going to be seeing the governor, who I just spoke to, the mayor, governor of the state, the mayor of Las Vegas, who I just spoke to, the sheriff, who has done such a great job. The police department has done such a fantastic job in terms of the speed, and we all very much appreciate it. So we'll be going to Puerto Rico tomorrow, and on Wednesday we will be going to, as you know, as I just said, we'll be going to Las Vegas on a very, very sad, it's a very sad moment for me, for everybody, no matter where you are, no matter what your thought process, this is a very, very sad day. So we're going to be doing that on Wednesday, and we'll be spending the full day there and maybe longer than that.
All right, let's get to our busy phones here. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, we start with Matt is a Vegas police chaplain. Matthew, how are you? Glad you called. I imagine your services have been needed dramatically. Glad you called, sir.
Thank you, Sean. It's an honor to be with you.
So tell us about where you were. What happened?
Last night, we got a call to go to the area hospitals and start meeting with some of the first responders that were affected, their families, and then the victims that were involved with this horrible night.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've got to imagine people are asking, you know, how could this happen, and so on and so forth. The reality is there is evil in the world.
Oh, exactly. This is just a demonstration that there's sin that is present, and that's why we believe Jesus is the answer for everything, and just trying to share that love. When you walked into the hospitals last night, it was like a war zone. There were cots and beds in all the hallways, and those wonderful people were just maxing themselves out to the limit. It was a horrible war zone, but it's but the amazing people of this city. People think of our city, Las Vegas, as a place where you party, but there's just an amazing community. And the people of this city, the nurses, the doctors, the police officers, firemen, just over and above. Our mayor last night was in the hospital at 2 a.m. grieving and praying and loving on people. Our sheriff was out there. It's been an amazing, horrible night, but to see the amazing response of this great community, the city of Las Vegas, has been so impressive.
Yeah. And what are the needs out there? What can people do? I know a lot of people are asking us. You know, I always go to the sources I know, like Samaritan's Purse, et cetera. Are there certain things at certain places where certain people can help, or is that a little too early? Do we don't know what the needs are yet?
Right now, all of our officers, our first responders, are on double shifts. And so we're collecting water and resources to be able to take care of them, especially over the next week. Our Police Wives organization at LVMPO Wives, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Officers Wives.com, is a place where we are collecting resources to be able to get specifically to our first responders. In the community, we are just kind of in a triage mode right now. I was up all night, got home, had 2 hours of sleep, but our church tonight at 6 o'clock is having a prayer meeting at experienceliberty.com. We are helping the needs of the community. So first responders, LVMPOWives.com. And for the needs of the community, 100% of any donation that is received will go to the needs of the community through those two organizations.
All right, Matt, we wish you the best and all that you're doing to comfort these people in their time of need. And our prayers are with everybody. Let's go to Katie, is in Vegas, KDON Radio. Katie was at the concert. All right, Katie, tell us what happened. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have no voice. We were there. We heard shots, what we thought was fireworks, go off, and looked up, no fireworks. A guy next to us, who I think was a veteran, he said, "That's an automatic, get down." And we had a little girl with us. Luckily, the people with her, they got her. He ex-military, so he saw it right away. He got her out. We got under the bleachers. There was a girl next to me who said she had been shot. I don't know if it ricocheted or not. It could have just been the bleachers. I don't know. It sounded like it ricocheted. No idea. It was pretty intense. Law enforcement was there immediately, got on it right away. I was shocked how fast and how well they did. A bunch of people who were just civilian clothes, you know, military or police or whatnot, immediately stepped up, and they were trying to direct and scream where to go, what to do. We didn't know where to go. We didn't want to run to the shooting. So we got under the bleachers, got as low as we could. And then after that happened, a police officer came by and said, "Okay, run." And so we all ran as fast as we could over to Hooters, the hotel, and got in there. And then we got in right before lockdown. And there was all sorts of things going on TV. We had no idea. We just knew that it was an automatic, no doubt. And we weren't sure if there was multiple shooters. It sounded like there could have been, but it also could have just been because, an automatic with tons of weapons up high. But down low, it was an open, open field. It was easy targets. It was horrific. There was people when we got into the Hooters restaurant, there was people bleeding all over. I grew up military and around military. So it was that fight or flight. And it was like, "Are you okay? Are you safe? Are you good? Okay, you need to run. You need to get to safety. You need to get where you need to be." You just got to do what you got to do. It was pretty terrifying, but I'm so thankful for all the law enforcement and all the people who were there. I mean, if you want to hurt a bunch of military and law enforcement, that was where you do it. There was so many proud Americans there.
Yeah.
So,
I can hear a lot of pain in your voice. I mean, this is not something that goes away easily, and this will live with you and everybody else for the rest of your life.
Definitely.
Yeah. I know. I look at these. Yeah. I mean, it looked like a slaughter. I mean, the people that are laying there, as everyone else was able to escape, or those that were able to escape, ducking for cover. And then you see these two bodies here, or there's one body here in the middle of in the middle of a field at that point. Very tough to see.
Yeah. Lots of blood everywhere. I mean, it was you didn't know if it was your blood or if it was somebody's blood or if that person was shot or if what it was. So, I mean, like I said, law enforcement, they had just had a bunch of military come up on stage with Big and Rich, and they had had a whole toast to them and done a huge military and law enforcement giving them, credit, and happened right after that. They all came forward and they completely helped as much as possible. I was shocked how fast it was. It was amazing for such a horrible thing for them to be so fast and get people as safe as they could.
Well, I saw a lot of people help, and I saw one lady pushing a guy in a wheelchair out. I saw many people, I saw guys literally standing over their girlfriends to protect their girlfriends. I saw amazing moments. Again, in the worst of times, it brings out really a lot of good in people. And Katie, all I can say is you hang in there. And if there's anything we could ever do to help you, you know how to get in touch with us. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. 800-941-SHAWN. We have full coverage of all of this and the despicable practice of politicizing tragedies. I'll say what nobody else, I guess, is going to say on TV tonight. All right, so Hannity, 10 Eastern, we have eyewitnesses. We have the latest on the massacre at the Mandalay. We'll also be doing something that nobody else in media will do. It is such a despicable disgrace what has gone on in the course of the last 72 hours. We have more lies that have been told to you, more politicizing of tragedy than I think I've ever seen in my life. And it's pretty disgusting, and it's got to stop. It's beyond shameful. We'll say that. We'll have the latest news out of Vegas. We have the best reporters on the ground, eyewitnesses to the event. And also, we'll be checking in Puerto Rico, get the latest on that, and we'll debunk the lie that has been told to you all weekend on that. That's all coming up. Hannity, our new time, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. All the latest breaking news live, and we hope you'll join us and tell your friends and set your DVR. That's 9 o'clock tonight. Hannity, Fox News. We will have an announcement about the event with the president later this week. And and much more. All right, that's tonight at 9. See you then, back here tomorrow.